$1.5 million in bail. No word on what the security team is exactly doing there, but Polanski could be transferred to the chalet as soon as this Monday. The outline of what looks like a holy figure appearing on a household item.
He's turned up on everything from trees to grilled cheese sandwiches, and now Mary Jo Cody of Methuen, Massachusetts, says she's discovered an image of Jesus in the brownish residue on the bottom of her iron. She and her husband recently separated, and her hours on the job have been cut back recently, so she's taking this discovery as a reassuring sign. She and her two college-age daughters agreeing it means that, quote, life is going to be good, and constitutes proof that Jesus, quote, is listening. She also says she's going to keep that iron as is in a closet and get a new one. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
And it looks like Rutgers put the final nail in the coffin. Following yesterday's loss to the Scarlet Knights, Louisville head football coach Steve Cragthorpe has reportedly been fired. The Cardinals are 4-8 this season under his leadership. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend. Today we're going to have some sunny skies. High is 64. It's going to be a little windy. North winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight mostly clear. Low of 38. Northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday mostly sunny. High of 66 with light winds. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet. West swell 10 to 12 feet at 13 seconds. And tonight, north winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 6 to 8 feet at 13 seconds. And Sunday, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming north in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 7 to 9 feet at 13 seconds. Current temperatures, let's see here, it's 53 degrees in Monterey, 49 in Salinas, and in Watsonville it's 53 degrees, it's 60 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. The official time, 10:06 and 30 seconds on this Saturday, November 28th, 2009. Up next, we have the Saturday special. MZ's in the studio. You are tuned in to KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
What a surprise. I was expecting a plump Nikki James as we spoke this morning.
Oh, well, I feel
not one, but two Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Three, I think you told me, right?
Well,
two on
if
Thanksgiving
you count
Day
leftovers.
One yesterday.
If you
sure,
count leftovers.
Course.
Yeah, you know.
In fact,
well,
more people eat more leftovers than the actual feast itself, isn't
that? That's true. It's good. Good stuff.
I expected you to look chubby, and you look like you're...
Yeah, well,
regular self here.
I feel full.
All right. Great. Well, happy Thanksgiving to
Yay.
You, Nikki, and to
you
everybody
too.
Else in KSCO land.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know on KSCO Radio.
Well, I guess we're officially kicking off the holiday season in KSCO country. Welcome to the Saturday special. MZ sitting in the chair last week occupied by Glenn. Want to thank Glenn for doing a great job. And did you enjoy working with Glenn, Nikki?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, good.
Yes,
yeah,
he's
good.
Great.
All right. So we're going to be on for the next 2 hours right up until noontime in an audience participation interview program as the Saturday special always is. We hope you will stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
I got out of Dodge last week to attend an impressive event put on by a company I have been associated with for over 12 years, and it got me thinking, why have we not presented a profile of this amazing company on the Saturday special in all this time? After all, the story fits perfectly with the mission of your favorite radio station to bring you interesting and inspiring programming. You may know Youngevity as a company that produces and distributes quality health supplements, but I know Youngevity as a company that does a lot of good and positively influences influences people's lives, certainly mine and even yours. Let me explain. The KSCO you have come to know and love would have gone away long ago down the typical road of corporate mediocrity. But because I partnered with Youngevity back in 1997, KSCO has been able to operate as a proud, independent, community service-oriented station and resist takeover from the large corporate media giants. You've got to hear this story with Youngevity CEO Steve Wallach and me on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Living Proof That Business with Heart and Soul is Still Alive and Kicking Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Welcome back to KSCO, Steve Wallach.
Thanks, Mike. That's a fantastic intro. I love it.
Hey, now, you've been on before. In fact, you've been on a number of times. In fact, you are on quite frequently with Bernie Owens and Friends, which plays...
That's true.
Yeah, from 5 to 7 a.m. Saturday mornings. Yeah. Now, I guess it's that's no big deal for you to get up early because that's what you always do. I mean, you, I call you at Youngevity at 6 in the morning, and you're there. It's amazing.
Sure, sure. So,
I guess that's how you build a company here, like Youngevity. Steve, let's back up to when you were born. When was that?
It was in September of 1966, just after my parents got back from South Africa, where my father was working on the whole rhino project, as you know.
Well, the audience doesn't know that, so let's tell you. Fill in the audience, okay?
Okay.
The Rhino Project. Now, he was working for who now?
Well, he was working for the South African government at that time in Africa. And what that was, it was called Operation Rhino. My father wrote a book called Operation Rhino after that whole project. And what it was a conservation project. You know, he had recently graduated from a veterinary school, and he had a degree in agriculture and field crops and soils. But he also had a ongoing fellowship in comparative pathology. So he did all of that, and he wound up getting a job for this, working for the South African government to help protect the white rhino and large animals, including elephants. And so this whole thing was really kind of based around reducing poaching and trying to protect these increasingly growingly endangered animals. So what they wound up doing was around the project of trying to reduce poaching and protect these things, these animals. It had a lot to do with moving animals. And so you were moving, he was moving animals from either the wild to game preserves or overpopulated game preserves to lesser populated game preserves. And what his role was to actually, tranquilize these animals, test them, for blood testing and the general physical examinations of them, help transport them, help kind of wake them up after anesthetizing them. And so it was a pretty specialized thing, especially back then. Nobody really knew exactly how to do it. And so he had a lot to do with the development and progression of the development of the tranquilizer gun. And that's what that whole project was about.
Now you weren't any part. You say you were born after all that had happened, right?
Right. I must have been conceived in South Africa because I was born shortly after they got back.
Uh huh.
Or after they got back. Excuse me.
Right. And so and we're talking about Steve's dad is of Dr. Joel Wallach, who has been a stable on KSCO as a host with the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program, and the lecture by the same name, which has sold, I don't know, close to 100 million copies. Am I right, Steve? I mean, pretty close.
Yeah, that audio is to this day the most widely distributed nutritional lecture in history.
And it was it sort of an accident?
Or it kind of was.
Yeah,
my father's very, very passionate about nutrition and health and health awareness, and so that was a lecture he had been giving for quite a while, actually, and it was a progression of the work he had done and research he had done up to that point, and It happened to be recorded at a live lecture, and that was the tape that became famous.
Yeah, and I think that live lecture was a video, if I'm not mistaken.
It was an audio track
from a video that's that was
correct.
Recorded in, was it 94, 1994?
93, actually, yeah.
Uh-huh. And by the time I became acquainted with your dad, Doc Wallach, it was 1994, November, when he called the station to inquire about what it would cost and what the schedule might be to arrange for him to do a one-hour weekly call-in alternative health program where he can answer people's questions on alternative health. And we figured out a time to start. In fact, I think it was 2 or 3 days later. I think this was a Thursday that I first talked to him, and he was on the air the next Sunday on the telephone at 7 in the morning, giving people this amazing background of his and having discussions with people who would call in. And I'll be darned if it wasn't it didn't quickly grow to be a very, very popular program at what is not a very good time on the radio. 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekday would be prime time radio. It's commute time. It's drive time. But on the weekend, most people are trying to sleep in and are not listening to the radio. But with not too much time, Doc Wallach was able to garner quite an audience at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Sure.
Anyhow, I didn't even realize until probably a year and a half later that Doc Wallach was in the network marketing business, also known as multi-level marketing. And that is basically where people become involved as independent distributors to promote one or more products that they are associated with and hopefully passionate about. And as I said, I didn't realize that Doc Wallach was I thought the vitamin and mineral supplements that he was selling on the radio or promoting on the radio were just regular direct marketed, a line of direct marketed products. And I don't know, a year and a half later, I did find out that it was through network marketing, sort of like Amway. And I thought it was sort of fascinating because up until then, Steve, I had the pretty much the same prejudices against network marketing or multi-level marketing that many people had from the old days in the 1970s. You were just a little guy back then, but but boy, I can't remember how many. There were just so many of my friends and contemporaries who used to lie to get me to go to Amway meetings and find out how to get rich overnight and all this kind of stuff. And it just turned out not to be my cup of tea. Just about everybody I talked with, who ended up doing that 6 months later, I'd say, well, how's it going? How's it going with your project here? Oh, I ended up with a garage full of products and no friends left. So it was very refreshing to see Dr. Wallach many, many years later effectively utilizing this form of distribution where basically there's no advertising, basically. I mean, sometimes there is. And in his case, he was paying KSCO and other stations for airtime to just do it his way. And it worked out very, very nicely. But how did you get involved?
Well, kind of like you, it's a little bit different, I guess. In June of 1991, my wife and I wound up getting married. And as part of that, my father gave us a distributorship and a company that he was involved with when he wound up meeting you. And so, you know, that was a small part of our involvement and getting sort of involved with the company and small part of what my father and his wife gave us for, you know, a wedding gift, and we thought that was nice. And
so you were about as old as your dad was when you were born at that time, when you were just getting married to Michelle.
Right.
And you were not going down this road, were you? Were you not going to be a dentist?
I was in pre-med at Portland State, and so I was pretty involved with that and newly getting married and all that good stuff. And so, again, this was a very small part of, we didn't think much about it at the time, but it turned out to be obviously a pretty life-changing event. We just didn't know it at the time.
Well, what got you to know it?
Well, what got us to know it was my wife was working for five cardiologists at the time, and she was barely 20 years old. And so she wasn't that interested in vitamins and minerals. And, you know, she had sort of brought it up to the cardiologists, and they're like, and vitamins and minerals. And so, you know, I was busy with school and working at night to put myself through school, and we wound up having our now oldest son, Jonathan, a couple years later. And so we didn't spend a whole lot of time or effort on it in the beginning. And as we introduced it to people slowly, you know, the vitamins and minerals, we started getting people saying, hey, where can I get more of that? And, you know, the testimonials slowly sort of started coming in since we were doing it slowly. And it was kind of interesting because really, Michelle, you know, getting these testimonials that people were leaving then on our answering machine. We still had, you know, the old answering machine back then. And that really sort of kind of opened up our eyes that, you know, when a relative, parent, sibling or, a relative of any type, you know, introduces you to something, usually you kind of say, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Uncommon, sure. And so, it was sort of one of those deals. But as people wound up coming back to us with their testimonials from the products, that really kind of opened up our eyes, and we became more and more involved. And so it was a slow progression for us. And, it just wound up being one of those things that as more and more people found out about it and more people were helped by the products and enjoyed the products and liked the products and loved the products, Michelle and I became more and more involved, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
What I'm not sure our audience understands is there's a leap from saying, you know, thank you for this distributorship, for this, which I guess was your wedding gift from your dad, to really getting involved in the business. Now, you've said, you know, that you started hearing testimonials on your answering machine. I mean, that'll do it right there. But how did you even? I guess Doc Wallach was doing the selling of the product, because you guys certainly weren't connected with it yet, right?
Well, yes and no. I mean, certainly we, Michelle and myself, introduced the products to people that we knew. We didn't know a whole lot of people back then, and, you know, people that you know that are involved with Youngevity today, those are some of the people that I introduced products to, Michelle introduced products to even back then, such as Richard Renton. And, it was, like I said, a very slow thing. This was before the internet, before email. So, you know, when we would meet with friends, we'd introduce them to the products. And
we're talking about maybe 1992 now?
Yeah, through 92 to 94. You know, this kind of went on as I was going to school and Michelle was working full time, and, you know, we had our first child, Jonathan.
Did you ever get to medical school or tell us what happened?
No, what I wound up doing was this full time at that point. So I wound up going to pre-med and for a couple of years, 2.5 years, once we had Jonathan, working through the night and going to school all day really wasn't conducive, and so I wound up getting a full-time job at a engineering manufacturing firm and during the day. And, again, wound up working our independent business very, very part-time, very intermittently, as, you know, we would run into people we knew and that sort of thing. And just as we, you know, it became more and more part of our life. And
this was a good 5 years before Youngevity, am I right?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, a long way from what you're doing today, which is running a company. We should explain to the audience that when you are involved with a network marketing company, it means that you have your own distributorship that you own and operate, you know, that you're associated with the master company. Am I saying it right, would you say?
Yeah, yes, you're explaining it exactly right. You know, I'm very interested in business. I always have been, and, I love nutritional products. I love, science. I've always been out of four children, probably the closest as to following my father's footsteps, nowhere near the education, the formal education he has had. But certainly, you know, I grew up in zoos and around zoos and loved animals ever since. My first business venture, long before that 1991 time frame, was an aquarium store with Richard. And, you know, I've always enjoyed animals and science, and so I, you know, again, had a passion for that. And this fits in very neatly with that because the science of nutrition, you know, it's biology and chemistry. So I've enjoyed it ever since. But, you know, the business of having an independent distributorship really isn't that much different from having a retail store.
Sure.
It isn't that much different from having a franchise. The biggest difference is you get to work it with who you want to work it with and when you want to work it. And you don't have the huge overheads of a retail, you know, establishment. I can tell you, you know, I know people with retail stores in this environment today that are tied to leases and employees and advertising and schedules and making sure their store is open. And, you know, it's a tough environment out there. But with an independent business like a network marketing distributorship, if you're passionate about the products, the sky is the limit of the opportunity, you know, certainly as much so, if not more so, than a retail establishment without all the trouble of the overhead.
Yeah, and expenses. Oh my, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
It's just I don't see how the world of commercial property can continue as it has. I see a great change. I don't know if you've read the book The Long Tail by Chris Anderson. That's a really, really good book about how less is more, where the costs associated with shelf space in a brick and mortar you know, operation, anytime you add products, it costs more money because you got to rent more space and so forth. But with the world of new media and the internet, you could add hundreds or thousands of products and it doesn't cost anything more. It's just amazing.
Well, with the convenience and cost effectiveness of online marketing, you know, that lends itself perfectly to network marketing. Again, you get to work the schedule and live the lifestyle you want. You know, it's you get to spend more time with your family, your children, semi-retirement. You know, you get to work your business around your schedule and your lifestyle, whereas where you're tied to a brick-and-mortar establishment with a lease and employees and things, you really don't have that flexibility. But on the flip side of that, people that are looking for products and services today are doing much more of it online. So, you know, from that perspective, they're going to those retail establishments less and less. So even though the economy has slowed down, you know, online marketing is increasing, and so that has a lot to do with the convenience of it. But network marketing is a lot like that. I mean, you're offering products and services as a distributor. The company does it online. You get credit for it. You get commissions for it and a residual income for it if you had something to do with introducing the recipient of those products and services.
Sure.
You know, to it.
It's amazing. And you don't have to stock it. You don't have to ship it. You can if you want to, but you certainly don't have to, and most people don't. And so it was pretty amazing when I watched your dad in operation for, I don't know, going on 2 years, because he kept wanting to buy more time on KSCO, because I guess the time that he originally purchased worked so well for him, that seemed to be the right demographic and of people to be receptive to his message about taking charge of your own health and using a line of premium quality nutritional supplements, mostly liquids. And back then, I think there was only about three products. Correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right?
Yeah, there certainly wasn't nearly as many, for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, Doc built himself quite a downline, as it's called. A downline is something that refers to a group of people who usually start with someone that you've introduced the products to, and those people introduce to other people and so forth, and it grows and grows. And, you know, there's this thing that I've heard many times, and I've said it. I think it illustrates beautifully the power of geometric progression. Would you rather I hand you $1,000 now, or the product, or wait 30 days and I hand you a penny, and every day that penny doubles? for 30 days. Would you rather wait for the 30 days to go by, and whatever the product of that penny doubled every day is what you'll get at the end of 30 days, or $1,000 now? And I don't know, most people think about it, they think, well, this must be a trick question. I'd rather have $1,000, but maybe it's really more than $1,000 if I wait. No, it's only a penny. But if you sit down and do it, and you double the penny every day so that tomorrow it's 2 cents, and the day after tomorrow it's 4 cents, and the day after that it's 8 cents. If you do that 30 times, it adds up to indeed more than $1,000. It adds up to $10,700,000 and some change. Pretty amazing. And that's the power of network marketing. It's absolutely amazing.
It's with people like Donald Trump and Warren Buffett involved in network marketing, and Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah, tell us more about that, okay? Because the first two, I guess it's only recently that they've gotten involved, or am I wrong about that? Warren Buffett?
No, Warren Buffett and Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki have been advocates of network marketing for quite some time.
Huh. Okay. And so are they involved in network marketing companies, or do they?
Long time, Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki wrote books and did audio, programs, audio cassettes and CDs and DVDs and things, talking about being the benefits of being in business for yourself,
right?
And how you can do that. It has a lot to do with the four quadrants, and you can either work for somebody else or you can leverage your time and work for yourself and that sort of thing. And all of that is great. Comes down to what you were just saying about the geometric progression as well. John Paul Getty once said, would you rather have 100% of your efforts or 1% of 100 people's efforts? And so, it's that sort of thing with network marketing. You're leveraging your time as well as your contacts and connections.
Right.
And you're offering products and services, hopefully, like you said, that you're passionate about. So if you believe in the products and the services, then why wouldn't you want to introduce these things to people and help them introduce them to people they know?
Just like when you see a good movie, you want to tell all your friends.
Sure,
but
of course.
I don't know
only
of any
in this
movie
case, you
theater.
Get paid.
Yeah, I don't know of any movie theater that pays you for recommending that your friends come to come to view the flick. It's pretty interesting. We're talking with Steve Wallach, who is CEO of a company called Youngevity. It is based in Chula Vista, California, just south of San Diego. It is a going on 13-year-old company. Actually, it is a 13-year-old company. 97? No, it's going on 13 years. So it's 12 and a half years now.
Right.
April, I think it was 18th, 1997, the establishment of Youngevity was, I believe, announced right here in KSCO country at a lecture seminar that had maybe 500 or 600 people attending. In Monterey, put on by Dio Roberts, and your dad was there, and it was one of those wild and woolly Wild West scenes. The book Dead Doctors Don't Lie is such an amazing story. If you get an opportunity, well, it's easy to get an opportunity to get it. Just go online or call one of your Youngevity distributors and ask for the book Dead Doctors Don't Lie. It's a chronological progression of the story of Doc Wallach right up until, I don't know, that book was written like in 1998 or something, or 2000. And there's been an awful lot since then. But
sure.
Boy, it's a wild and woolly book back right up until then. I'm actually mentioned in it because Doc and I became acquainted in 1994 when he started buying time. And after a couple of years or so, it occurred to me that Doc Wallach should be on at a more prime time. He was inquiring about what it might cost, and one thing led to another, and I said to him, why don't I buy the time and we'll sign up the radio station to be a distributor? And he said, well, I said, can we do that? He says, well, we never have before, but why not? We signed up a lot of other people who own businesses, and they sign up in the name of their business, so why not? So in answer to your question, I said back then, well, the answer to your question is, at least on an experimental basis, nothing. I will buy the time since I already own it. I own the radio station. And if this works out as well as I think it might, because we'll just be getting paid a different way, you know, rather than being compensated, you know, by the minute for like a 60-second spot or by the hour for an infomercial or whatever. It'll just be a different way of getting compensated through one of these downline things. And your dad thought that was a great idea. In fact, his eyes got real big, and he realized, like a light went on over his head, like a light had gone on over mine. And he said, no one's ever done that before in the network marketing business. And I knew that no one had ever done that before in the radio business. So it turned out to be a really, really neat way of doing things. And yet, like I said, a different way of getting compensated. Now, I'm a broadcaster, and over the years, your dad and I have locked horns and clashed many times because he would tell me, Michael, you got to go out and put on meetings, and you must not care about money because you're letting so much of it slip through your fingers, and da, 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 like sand. And I would say, well, you know, I'm not complaining about how this is working. In fact, I'm able to, you know, not worry about selling as much advertising on the radio as a result of this. So it grew into something where we Doc and I together working with some others developed a different way for radio stations to make money through one of these downline residual income type business models. And after we perfected it on KSCO, we started contacting other radio stations around the country to clue them in on what we had discovered, and said, hey, here's another opportunity, here's another way that you can make money with your station besides the standard selling of 30 and 60 second spots and sponsorship billboards for local news and weather and traffic and so forth. And so we got to work building a little radio network for the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program. Now, with new media and everybody having a computer and everybody having a good connection to the internet, I mean virtually everybody, it's a whole new world, Steve, and it's just so exciting. It's so exciting where we're going now. So how did you get involved in running the company? Because when I first met your dad, he was the top distributor for a company that he had an interest in. I think he had co-founded, but did not really control. What happened?
That's right.
What happened?
Well,
what happened, but I want you to tell it.
I don't know how much of the detail you want to go into, but
as you think is interesting.
Okay. Well, in late 1996, obviously things seemed to be going fantastically well business wise, and you know Michelle and I were full time distributors. Doc was out doing 300 plus lectures a year,
and that's no exaggeration. He really does that. It's just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And so Dr. Milan was actually back in school full time.
She's Doc's wife.
A Harvard exchange professor from China, and a very intelligent woman and a fantastic lady. But she was in school full time because to practice in California, she had to go back to school to get reaccredited. So she wound up having to go back to school for another 4 years. And so Michelle and I wound up kind of holding down the fort. And at that time, the company that you just mentioned, my father had co-founded but didn't control. He was out lecturing 300 days per year for.
Being the rainmaker and probably, I mean, certainly the predominant, if not the sole rainmaker for.
Sure. But that company was doing a lot of things wrong. They certainly weren't shipping product quickly. They, you know, when you got it, oftentimes was wrong and they weren't answering the phones quickly, and you know they just weren't the people that were in control of the company were not reinvesting into the company as growth was just exploding. And as distributors, what we wound up doing, you know, you've probably heard my father tell this story, Michael. You know, his first experience with network marketing was with Amway. He was a successful doctor with partner. You know, he was a partner in three different very busy clinics in the Portland, Oregon area. And he was also teaching nutrition at the Naturopathic College, what's called the National College National Naturopathic College up in Portland, very prestigious naturopathic college. And he also was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserve, so he was a doctor doing things with the Air Force Reserve. So he's very you know busy person. So what he saw in network marketing wasn't necessarily just you know more income. What it was for him was time freedom at that time. He was a single father of four of us kids, And so he was doing all these things and was looking for extra time. He wasn't necessarily looking for extra money. And so it worked out well for him. And so that was his first real experience with network marketing. So this predates
that other
company.
What year was that, Steve? Do you remember what year that was?
This was in the mid-'80s.
Okay.
So at any rate, this other company wasn't doing the things to support the distributors that a company should do. And one of the historical stories of Amway is that when the company wasn't doing what it should have been doing, distributors stepped up and key distributors and sort of filled in the gaps of where the company wasn't doing what it should have been doing. That was Amway. Well, this company that my father had co-founded was doing or wasn't doing the same sort of things Amway wasn't doing back then in supporting people in the field and the distributors. And so we as distributors stepped up and we did it. We wound up hiring people to answer the telephones and support our downline since the company wasn't doing it. We wound up inventorying a lot of products since the company wasn't doing it. We wound up buying more brochures and giving them away than the company was buying and as distributors. And so when this company was founded in early 1997, we made a commitment that this company was a company founded by distributors for distributors, and that from day one we would always reinvest in the company to support the growth and support distributors in the field. We've always answered the phone in a timely manner, and we've always invested in infrastructure and equipment to support people as the explosion of the online thing has occurred. We've got a state-of-the-art 65,000 square foot office and world headquarters and warehouse and distribution point here in Chula Vista, California. And so, we load it with product, and we ship usually the same day we get the order, if we get the order before 10 o'clock. And we've always done those basics to support people in the field. And so that's how I wound up getting involved in the company. It was a sort of an evolution from becoming a distributor that was doing a lot of those things the company should have been doing to when this company was founded, to stepping right into that role and doing all the things that the company should be doing.
Yep, and I can certainly vouch for the fact that never once in almost 13 years, not even once, has a check been even one day late.
Sure.
Never once has the company asked us to take our commissions in the form of product, which I understand other companies have done and do regularly do. The company has never once done anything that gives network marketing a bad name. It's only done things that give network marketing a good name. And I guess
we strive to do just that.
I'm really lucky in that the only network marketing company I have become involved with happened to be a winner big time. And it could have gone the other way just as easily, except I didn't sense that it would, with Doc Wallach and with you and with the infrastructure that you guys had installed, because you're not, I'm saying you become business type people, but you were distributor type people. You were, as you say, you founded the company by distributors for distributors and so forth. So that's great. That's terrific.
My father is from the Midwest. I was born in St. Louis, and I certainly believe we have those Midwest values that we may not be as slick and as exciting as some companies and people out there, but I think we're pretty grounded and rooted in the right things.
So the company was founded quite amazingly fast in 1997.
Sure.
As a result, we won't go into great detail, but we'll just suffice to say the other company did some really bad thing that I think anybody that anybody in Doc Wallach's position would have tried to patch up, which he did. They were just unwilling to be reasonable, so he went off and started his own company, basically. And he did it in 2 or 3 weeks. It was absolutely amazing, because I told him, I said, my gosh, we should put the radio show on ice for a while. He says, Michael, don't do that. I said, why? We've got a momentum going, and I'm going to start a new company. And I said, you're going to start a new company? That's going to take a year. He says, no, we'll do it really, really fast. I'm happy I listened to him, because he was right. 3 weeks later, it was a new company, and it was announced right here in Monterey, right here where he happened to be. So it's absolutely amazing. There were three products, and now, 12 and a half years later, there are, I think, over 600 products. Am I right, Steve?
You know, there's at least 400, and that sounds like an awful lot.
If you count all the essential oils and so forth, go into detail, because you and Richard Renton, also known as Dr. Dirt, Dr. Wallach's fifth son, you know, as far as I understand, you know, that's the way I view Richard, and a good friend of yours with whom you
Absolutely.
Went into the tropical fish business, you know, back in the 80s, I guess. And he's got a great background in biochemistry and was just a natural person to become a formulator of products. So after Youngevity was founded in 1997, Richard sort of went off and became the mad scientist of the company, developing new products to doc specifications while you were out, you know, making the business deals and building the infrastructure, and it was like poetry in motion. It was absolutely amazing, and to this day it continues. Richard is affectionately known by the distributors in the company as Dr. Dirt, and he has formulated quite a number of products, but there are a whole lot of other products which have become part of the Youngevity list of products, not by Youngevity formulating them, but by acquiring other companies, right, Steve?
Sure.
Where did that idea come from, and when did it start? It seems like you've been doing that for the last 6 or 7 years.
Well, you know, companies are always looking, I shouldn't say always, oftentimes are looking to acquire other companies. You know, there's many ways companies can grow. And through acquisitions and mergers, that's certainly one of the ways. It's not our primary way, but of growing. But certainly, as we've seen opportunities to team up with other companies, and you know, oftentimes a company is lacking that infrastructure that we have, and or they're just lacking, you know, either personnel or just something is missing. And so when we look at things, you know, if the product line is great, and there's other things that we're interested in participating in, like, you know, a great group of distributors or key personnel, we look at several different factors, and we've certainly looked at many companies that have come to us or that have been brought to us or introduced to us that we haven't done anything with. But over, you know, our 13 years, there's been about 8 different companies that we've brought on or partnered with in some shape, some way, shape or fashion, and we've gotten some great products and you know, wound up working with some great people as a result.
And so was this something that was planned in the beginning or just sort of evolved?
No, it was not planned in the beginning, but, you know, throughout our history, there's been companies that have, you know, reached out to us, I guess, to see if we would be interested in as a, you know, as a company being acquired, which we never have been interested in that. But, certainly, that you know, that aspect of it, again, being involved and interested in business myself, as we've seen opportunities, as opportunities have kind of presented themselves, it's just one of those things that has also evolved in our history. And so, again, you know, as we've wound up, as opportunities have presented themselves, as we've become, you know, involved with other companies and people and things, those opportunities have just appeared again.
Sure.
As a process, as a normal part of the process that we're involved in.
We're going to come back with Steve Wallach, CEO of Youngevity, and we'll be opening the phone lines a little later on. But for right now, we're going to take a commercial break for a few minutes. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday special. It's your favorite radio station, or if it's not, it should be. No, it's everybody's. Everybody who's listening. You can't get right. Okay, so Nikki, we will be back right after this commercial break, and there will be more with Steve Wallach and the Youngevity story. Stay with us.
What connects you to your doctor? Our guess, it's the relationship you've built together, the quality of care you receive, and that your doctor lives and works in this community. That's why, if you're Medicare eligible, you should consider enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan accepted by PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County. By enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan with Physicians Medical Group, you're assured affordable, preventive, and routine medical care. This plus access to over 300 local physicians and 42 specialties. both state-of-the-art hospitals, and convenient walk-in care. And best of all, it's all provided by a PMG primary care physician or specialist who, like you, is proud to call Santa Cruz County home. Visit us online or call 465-7800 to learn more. Your doctor, your plan. Medicare Advantage with PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County.
President Obama has said that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, if you translate the president's intentions, one thing is certain. It's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Go early to the giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
Tis the season for appreciation, so let's pay it forward together. Hello, I'm Morgan Stewart from Five Star Catering here in Santa Cruz. Our local firefighters and teachers all deserve a special holiday celebration. Let's pull ourselves together and give them a holiday gala with music and dancing, a sumptuous dinner, and a carefree evening of fun and relaxation. Our heroes deserve our best, and you can help. If you know of a teacher or school administrator, you can give them the gift of a joyous holiday gala by purchasing them a ticket for only $35. If you don't know of anyone, you can still sponsor someone from our list of those who have asked to attend. This holiday season, let's pay it forward by supporting our community's heroes with a carefree evening of fun, music, dancing, and great food on Saturday, December 11th at the Ventana Ballroom at 150 Jewel Street in Santa Cruz. For details, call Five Star Catering at 831-466-3090. That's 466-3090 or fivestarcatering.us on the web.
We're going all out for our holiday sale this year. Hi, we're the Trowbridge Brothers of Palace Art and Office Supply. I'm Gary.
I'm Frank.
And I'm Roy. We are going all out. How all out? Visit Palace stores in Santa Cruz and Capitola now through Sunday and see the super savings we have throughout the store.
Here are some of the great deals waiting for you at Palace through Sunday.
Decorative photo storage boxes, $2.49. Stainless steel water bottles, $5.99. Golden brand artist acrylic paints and mediums, 40% off. All packages of Strathmore blank cards and envelopes, 50% off. Large selection desktop photo frames, half off. Unbeatable.
Go ahead and buy that big screen TV.
Then visit Palace, where you'll be able to stretch the rest of your holiday budget a long, long way. But hurry, our sale ends Sunday.
We are Palace Art and Office Supply on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz and on 41st Avenue in Capitola.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing. And we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
I'm Jim Bohannon, host of America in the Morning. Each day, we take you around America and the world to bring you the latest from the Midwest, the Middle East, or the middle of Ground Zero.
A 911 call in the middle of the night. This is Howard Arenstein in Washington.
Peter Mayer, the White House.
David Dell, Los Angeles.
Kimberly Dozier, Islamabad.
And we wake up the newsmakers who wake up the world.
We're joined by Senator Joe Lieberman, former Defense Secretary William Cohen, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
And while we keep our eye on the top news, we never lose sight of all the information you need to make your life complete.
Well, Jim, the Northeast has had storm systems sweeping across the Northeast today.
Sports time and Tony Roberts' Morning Drive jumpstarts your day. What jumpstarts your morning drive? We'd like to.
Join Jim Bohannon on America in the Morning, 5 to 6, Monday through Friday on KSCO.
Seven minutes remaining in hour number one of the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. We're talking with Steve Wallach, our special guest today from Youngevity Corporation. Steve, welcome back. Let's see. We are going to talk about health claims now.
Okay.
All right. Okay, health claims. Now, health claims are very, very important because there is not free speech in this country, contrary to what many people think. In fact, there is quite constrained speech. In fact, if I have learned through being associated with Youngevity that you have to be very, very careful what you say. You're not even allowed to mention a disease. Is that right? I mean, you can't even mention a disease, even if it's absolutely scientifically proven that that disease can be cured by taking a particular supplement. You're not allowed to say that unless the federal government has been forced to let you say it. Did I say that right?
You've got it mostly right, but you're absolutely right that there certainly is not free speech when it comes to everything. And where supplements are involved, it's very political. The Deshaies Law of, I think, 1994 sort of sets the boundaries, but this is a huge document, and this is the document that governs the supplement industry, and this is the document that the FDA, you know, uses as kind of their 48,000-page rule book, you know, the Code of Federal Regulations. Anyway, it's pretty massive. And when it comes to health claims, Michael, you know, what you and I would sort of that term conjures up, you know, any claim about health or nutrition, but it's really pretty specific. There are what is called structure function claims, and that's, you know, milk helps build strong and healthy bones. That's a structure function claim, or calcium helps support strong and healthy bones. Same thing. That's a structure function claim. When it comes to health claims, a health claim is something that the FDA deems much stronger than a structure function claim. A health claim, by their definition, their terminology, is any time that you may incorporate the name of a disease, the disease state, like high blood pressure as a disease state, if it's chronic high blood pressure, with a supplement. And that requires really a ton of science to kind of overcome the predisposed bias, I guess, against the allowance of those sorts of claims. And so even above that is something called a treatment claim, which, to my knowledge, there are none allowed by the FDA for supplements. And again, it fits a very narrow definition or a very specific definition by the FDA of what a treatment claim would be. At any rate, so health claims, that's something that we as a company and Dr. Wallach, as an individual, have petitioned the FDA, submitted what are called health claim petitions, whereby you submit thousands and thousands of pages of independent science that support a nutrient, a specific nutrient with a specific either claim or set of claims, and you kind of wait and hope the FDA is going to allow those or approve those. Now, to kind of set the background, today most people understand that folic acid is an essential nutrient and that folic acid is a good thing to take by women in particular. I mean, it's an essential nutrient for men as well, but in particular, it has a huge impact on future born individuals in that, you know, women of childbearing years or age should certainly be taking a supplement or supplements that contain a good amount of folic acid. It's a nutrient that helps reduce the risk of neural tube birth defects. And this is something that the FDA vehemently fought the allowance of even medical doctors.
It was in the news quite a bit, and they were still fighting it, right?
It was, you know, everybody understood that folic acid helped reduce the occurrence of even the government's own literature was recommending that women, you know, of childbearing age take folic acid in advance. It's now in, you know, bread, for instance. It's fortified in many foods because it is, you know, deemed to be that important. And, you know, I mean, obviously, if, you know, if you're a person that was born or is born with a neural tube birth defect, this is something that could have possibly prevented that. If you're somebody that has a child that was affected by that, or certainly if you're somebody that, that has healthy children because of that, at any rate, you know, it's something that the FDA had to be challenged and litigated, had to be sued to allow this information to be disseminated, and that was by Jonathan Emort, somebody you and I both know.
Sure. How did you get to know Jonathan? He's an amazing FDA and FTC attorney specialist.
He is. He actually worked for the FCC, originally right out of college. So he knows his way around the regulatory gamut and or gauntlet, possibly. So, you know, he's a First Amendment attorney, and that's his specialty. He's very, very intelligent, very knowledgeable about these things. But he's also very passionate about freedom of speech and the supplement industry.
Yes.
And so he's fairly well known in this industry, and I've known him, had the pleasure of calling him a friend for a long time now. And through, you know, just being in the industry, I was introduced to Jonathan through one of our suppliers, actually, and he was doing some things that really intrigued me. He was doing the thing with the folic acid and health claim petitions and challenges and suing the FDA to get this information disseminated and allowable for companies like ourselves to help people understand the importance of supplements. This is something that folic acid, if you just take that one nutrient, probably saves tens of thousands of lives per year, just simply because people now understand the importance of it. And this is something that, that, you know, I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of nutrients and supplements or ingredients that are supplements, nutritional supplements. And, you know, if you just take the importance of what they do, you know, the essential nutrients that Dr. Wallach lectures about all the time, this is something that, that people should have the freedom to understand that and know it. Now, certainly there are books and magazines out there, even science, you know, my basic biology and chemistry books talk about the benefits of these various nutrients and things. But, you know, when it comes to putting it on a label or in product pamphlets and brochures to talk about the benefits of these things, when people are most interested and most likely to learn about these things is the time that they're looking for products. They want to be able to compare products and learn about the products that they're potentially purchasing. And so it's, you know, one of those things that's very frustrating and challenging as a company and as an individual, that we want to be able to get this information out to people so they fully understand, you know, what these ingredients and nutrients do.
Yeah. Well, it's 11 o'clock on AM 10. In fact, it's 11:01 on AM 1080. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We've just completed hour number one of the Saturday special with Steve Wallach, our special guest. There's an hour ahead, so stay with us. We join Fox News in progress.
Devised explosive device planted on the tracks that caused that high-speed Moscow to St. Petersburg passenger train to come off the tracks last evening.
More than 600 people on the train, but only four cars came off the tracks. Up to 30 dead, although one Russian official put the death toll closer to 40, and about 100 people were injured and rushed off to the hospitals.
Fox's Dana Lewis in Moscow. The bomb crater 5 feet deep. A second bomb has gone off during a cleanup operation near the disaster site. No word on injuries from that explosion. There have been no credible claims of responsibility. A terrorism investigation has been opened. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore. Encore.
You know, when you think of breast cancer, chances are, odds are, you think of women. And that is exactly why one of music's most macho guys is speaking out this morning.
After battling the disease last year, former KISS drummer and founding member Peter Criss is spreading the word about male breast cancer.
Yeah, I've been playing drums all my life, so I'm very aware of my body. And when I first felt it, it was uncomfortable. And
you felt a lump.
Yeah, I felt, and then more I messed around. it hurt more. So my wife was going to see her gynecologist, and at the time I went with her, and she mentioned to her, would you look at my husband?
Right.
And she said, sure. And she didn't like it. All I could say is, if you're sitting at home, anywhere you find any kind of uncomfortability in your breast and you're a guy, just go.
Absolutely.
Tell your wife,
just
but
go
tell
see
someone,
right.
And just go do it, because the quicker you do it, the quicker you'll live.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Authorities in Michigan have been alerted that suspected killer Paul Merhige, wanted in Jupiter, Florida, in the shooting deaths on Thanksgiving of his twin sisters, an aunt, and a cousin, may be headed in their direction, that he had made contact with a Detroit area physician last year. The Persian Gulf Emirate of Dubai has shut down tight for the Muslim holiday Eid al-Adha, leaving the financial world guessing as to what happens next after the nation-state's huge real estate company Dubai World asked creditors for a six-month delay in paying a $60 billion debt. And that leaves at least one huge construction project in the lurch.
The Atlantic Hotel on the Palm Jumeirah Island opened with a $1 million fireworks display during a $20 million bash, meant to celebrate it as the playground for the rich and famous. Celebrities like David Beckham and Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are among the glitterati believed to have bought multi-million dollar villas on the artificial island. But their investments have collapsed with the news that Nikhil, the property developer, cannot continue development, and its state-owned business partner asked to suspend debt repayments. Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
One NBA team is trying to avoid earning what would be an extremely dubious distinction in league history.
Oh, the poor New Jersey Nets. It's been loss after loss after loss this season for the pro basketball team, and the hits just keep on coming. On Friday night, the Nets losing their 16th game in a row, off to an 0-16 start this season, dropping one to the Sacramento Kings. One more loss, and the Nets will equal the worst start ever in NBA history, 0-17. And the odds of avoiding that record are not great. The Nets take on the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Swedish police say they've cleared a man arrested for allegedly murdering his wife last year. A police spokesman saying that, quote, the improbable has become probable and that the actual culprit was most likely a moose. They're not giving details of the case. They're promising a news conference on Tuesday. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KSU 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your forecast for this weekend. Today we got sunny skies, high of 64. It's a little windy out there. We're going to have a few gusts, and the north winds will be between 20 to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 38, and northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 66 with light winds. Out there on the Monterey Bay, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 10 to 12 feet at 13 seconds, and tonight, north winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 6 to 8 feet at 13 seconds, and on Sunday, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming north in the afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 7 to 9 feet at 13 seconds, and current temperatures 56 degrees in Salinas, 59 in Watsonville, and 55 in Monterey. We're at 62 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time is 11:06 and 36 seconds on this Saturday, November 28th, 2009. Up next, second hour Saturday special. Stay tuned, KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
Profiling the Youngevity Company. here on AM 1080 KSCO. We've been through hour number one. Now there's hour number two straight ahead.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And our special guest is Steve Wallach, who is the CEO, also known as GIC, Guy in Charge of Youngevity. And we're going to be opening the phone lines. I see we already got one caller now. If you want to give us a call, now is the time to call 479-1080 in area 831, 479-1080. If you want to email the show, use my email address. That's mz@ksco.com. We're going to get back on the line with Steve, and we'll finish up the discussion about health claims right after we have a world premiere of Kay's commentary. I didn't think we had this, but we do have it, right, Nikki? Yeah, okay, let's do it right now.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's whirling.
This is called Satan, the Great Motivator. Let's study the intriguing relationship of economics and religion and see how the second controls and stimulates the first. What makes economies grow? It's a question that has occupied thinkers for centuries. Here's one you might not have considered. Hell. Yes, hell makes some economies grow. A pair of Harvard researchers recently examined 40 years of datum from dozens of countries trying to sort out the economic impact of religious beliefs or practices. They found that religion has a measurable effect on developing economies, and the most powerful influence relates to how strongly people believe in hell. That hell could matter to economic growth might seem surprising, since you cannot prove it exists, let alone quantify it. It stands as one of the most intriguing findings in a growing body of recent research exploring how religion might influence the wealth and prosperity of societies. In a sense, religion and economics long have been intertwined. There are more verses on money and finance in the Bible than there are verses on prayer. The New Testament states it clearly in contradictory positions. On the one hand is the admonition that a rich person has little chance of getting into heaven. On the other is the parable of the talents, which praises the servant who got the biggest return on his money. This is interesting. Islam to this day outlaws the charging of interest. Wow, this is one positive aspect of Islam. Buddhism instructs its followers to abjure or repudiate the desire for material goods. In the Middle Ages, studies showed that the states run by monks outperformed those that used serfs, thanks to religiously inspired cooperation. The Quakers of 18th century Britain, renowned for their scrupulous honesty, came to dominate British finance. Ultra-Orthodox Jews similarly dominate New York's diamond trade because of levels of trust based on religion. Modern religious kibbutzim, which are small, self-contained Jewish communities in Israel, on average outperform their secular rivals in part because of trust built through engaging in communal religious rituals. The Protestant work ethic is a driving force behind modern capitalism in the West. So, what is it about religion that creates how these economies are affected? All the major religions like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism extol virtues like self-discipline, sacrifice, and thrift. Some even preach that earthly success translates to good things in the afterlife. a kind of gold-plated stairway to heaven. I would like to add, if one really wishes to cut to the chase, one can put it bluntly, like, if one does not believe in hell, one need not be scared of retribution, and one can often, and up to a point, get away with cheating, etc. Conversely, if one believes honestly and fervently in the existence of God, one will be good and never be tempted to cheat in business or otherwise. Kudos to Aaron Farquhar for suggesting we delve into this unique theory of Michael Fitzgerald's recent article on commerce and religion. Though we did condense it, we see that economies and religion do indeed support and complement each other. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Way to go, Ma. Steve, we're back. Welcome back to hour number two. No, actually, welcome to hour two. I shouldn't say welcome back because this is the first time we're entering hour number two, right? Just, you there, Steve?
I'm here.
Sorry to interrupt you here. We were on a roll here talking to us about health claims and how the longevity company has made this very, very important. Your dad once announced to a group of people, he says, we don't pay taxes, we pay lawyers. And normally that kind of a statement was, oh, God, who is this guy? Is a litigious type person? No, no, no. The kind of lawyers that he was referring to is FTA and FTC lawyers, because of the whole idea the government needs to be forced to allow health claims that are legitimate and scientifically proven to be let out, right?
Well, it's extremely important. One, I mean, you understand my father's passion for getting this information out to people. You've met with Dr. Schrauser. You understand his, you know, passion and urgency, sense of urgency to get this information out to the world.
It's unconscionable. And, And I think that
but that's how governments work, Michael. You of all people understand this. In the business you're in, you know this as well as I do. But you know, when you understand the field that we play on, I guess, you know, you look at the drug industry, you know, the pharmaceutical drug industry. There's over 600 full-time lobbyists to lobby, you know, our politicians and the FDA, and these are people that just state the case on behalf of the pharmaceutical industries to these people. They wine and dine them. They, you know, do all the things that you would think are sort of normal in, like, business contracts and military contracts and stuff, you know, and wining and dining these people. So they have a pretty direct, you know, set of influence on our decision makers, right? Well, the supplement industry doesn't have that. It doesn't have even one full-time lobbyist, I don't think. And so, you know, we have to have a voice to get this information out to people and to be able to at least attempt to level the playing field that we're on. And so that's, you know, the passion that we have as a company. That's the passion that Jonathan Emord has as an individual. That's the passion that my father has as an individual, you know, to do our part to get this information out to people. You know, my father could have retired long ago, you know, from the whole tape thing and, you know, all the things he's done in the past. But, you know, my father is almost 70 years old. He's going to be somebody that is getting this information out to people, just like your mother just did. And she speaks so eloquently and knows exactly what she's talking about. And, you know, I don't know if you want to give out her age or not, but, you know, your mother is a fantastic person. And at the age that she is at, she is still contributing, you know, tremendously to society and to people. You know, my father is one of those people. Dr. Schrauser is one of those people. Dr. DeVrue that I meet with every Thursday at 85 years old, sharp as a tack. You know, we all want to be those individuals that continue, you know, giving back long into our elderly years. And, you know, that's what this is all about, and getting information out to people that they can use. They don't have to use it, but we want to be sure that the information is out there, you know, at the time that people are most likely to be needing it and looking for it. And that's what that, you know, that whole thing with the health claim petitions is about.
How many health claim petitions have been filed, Steve, and awarded?
Hundreds have probably been filed, but only a handful have ever been approved. And out of that handful, four of them, we've either initiated and been the lead or sole petitioner, or been involved in as a co-petitioner.
And the name Jonathan Emord has come up a number of times. You and he have actually been on the Saturday special before.
Sure.
Some time ago. Jonathan is just a brilliant guy. And as a personal note, I think it would be real interesting. I don't think he would mind. One of the really sweet things about the company is that Jonathan Emord, who became acquainted with the company professionally, you know, as a lead attorney to sue the FDA for these health claims on behalf of Youngevity, and a top distributor in Youngevity, Cheryl Morley, were introduced by your dad, and they are now married and have beautiful twin children. And
sure.
Just one of many stories. I'll tell you, I've made the best friends of my life in the company for the last going on 13 years. And in fact, one of them, I actually knew Andy before Youngevity, but Andy Anderson from Las Vegas is on the line here. So let's bring Andy on and welcome him to the Saturday special with MZ and Steve.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, Steve. The reason I called was I was hoping that you would expand on the very subject of this government control of things, and you're certainly doing that. And I'd like to emphasize the fact that, in particular, the issue of selenium and essential fatty acids. And I want to let our audience know that that money to pay for all the legal fees and that's required in bringing this petition forward and getting the positive results that you've got is from Youngevity. This is, and it benefits everyone. It's not just distributors of Youngevity. Everybody gets to benefit from this. And if I may, a quick little story that sort of confirms what you're talking about. Recently, Phyllis and I took off for 3 weeks to go to Europe. And while we were in, first night we were in Liverpool, and Phyllis sprained her ankle. And the next morning, boy, she really did a good job. So we went to this little village and to get some ibuprofen. So we found a little pharmacy there and asked the young lady if we could get some ibuprofen. She says, yes, of course. She says, you know, it's called Nuprofen here. So she hands me a little box of 12 200 milligram ibuprofen tablets. And it was about 9 pounds, as I recall, which is about $14 for 12 of these. And I said, oh, gosh, that's not going to be enough. And she said, well, by law, I can only sell you 2 boxes of 12. So we're looking at about $30 for 24 ibuprofen tablets. So this is government control. And I'd like to emphasize again that Youngevity and Steve Wallach and Doc Wallach and all the team behind the scenes that most people don't realize what's going on, that there it is. That's what they're trying to do, is to protect our freedom. And I had mentioned to the young lady behind the counter, and I said, did you know the United States, we have businesses that, for instance, forgive me, Michael, but I'm going to mention Costco. You can buy a...
I love to go on shopping sprees at Costco.
Yeah, I told
and as Corey Gold told everybody, I love to eat all their samples there.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Well, I told the young lady, I said, in the United States, we have a bit with one of our businesses called Costco, and I could buy 1,000 ibuprofen tablets, 200 milligram, for about $9. And her chin fell on the counter, and her only response to me was, well, we just don't want you to abuse it. But that's what's going on in Europe. And this is a big deal to me, and so grateful that Youngevity and Doc and Steve are right on the front line of this.
Hey, does that have anything to do with the Codex Alimentarius, which I believe is in effect in Europe?
Yes.
It doesn't have anything to do with Codex, because the ibuprofen would be an over-the-counter drug. But
okay, now what about Codex? I mean, we don't... We should have just a little brief discussion, you know, just a minute or two about what Codex is and how it's in effect in the EU and how they're talking about. You don't hear too much talk about that here anymore. There was a big scare that it might show up in the United States, but I don't hear about that. Is that still a danger? First of all, tell us what it is.
It's not likely to show up here. It's not. I'm sure there are people with agendas that would like to see it show up here, but I don't foresee that. It's not an imminent threat, and it's not an immediate threat. It's definitely something that is severely limited supplement availability in Europe, and that's a big issue, obviously. And you know, it minimizes what you can put in supplements. It minimizes access to individual nutrients or ingredients. Dechea sort of does that here, but not nearly to that degree. And, you know, it's very, very overburdensome in Europe, and it's unfortunate. It certainly limits people's access to, you know, great nutrients and ingredients, and certainly stifles, innovation when it comes to creating products.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Andy.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks very much for your call. If you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080 in area 831. 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to email us, it's mz@ksco.com. mz@ksco.com. We're talking with Steve Wallach from Youngevity. And our next caller is Rich in Salinas. Rich, welcome to the Saturday Special with Steve and MZ.
Hi, Steve and MZ. I've been biting at the bit because I was calling about Codex Elementarius, and I talked to pharmacist Ben Fuchs yesterday as a substitute. And it's being implemented the end of December, according to him. I've heard it on two other radio talk programs over the last 2 months. End of December, we have it. The pharmaceutical companies will take over all of the vitamins and nutrition, and it'll be run through the pharmaceutical.
I don't believe that.
You talk to Ben Fuchs, because he knows all about it, and he talked about it for a good 10 minutes yesterday after I called. And I've heard, like I said, I've heard it on two other programs, too. So they're going to take over. I said to Ben, in other words, I need to buy large quantities now. He said, yes. Now, what does that do to Youngevity products?
First of all, I don't believe it. Do you would know about this, Steve.
Yes, I would know about this. I'm not sure exactly what pharmacist Ben was talking about in regards to the U.S. As far as Codex overseas, that's something that's been an ongoing, you know, rigmarole for a long time. And, it really has kept companies like ourselves out of Europe because of that till the dust sort of settles. Something that is being implemented last year, this year, and next year here in the U.S. is it's the FDA's newest rules and regulations of what are called CGMPs, or Current Good Manufacturing Practices, which sounds fantastic. It sounds like something we should all be excited about, but the reality is what it does is it brings the sort of record keeping and manufacturing processes of supplements up above the requirements of many pharmaceutical drugs. And the unfortunate part for all of us in regards to that is it limits access to individual ingredients, nutrients, and it certainly increases cost. So that's something that unfortunately, you know, as an extension of food, which is what supplements are, we're held to a very, very high standard of manufacturing and record keeping and that sort of thing, which unfortunately, as I just said, is going to add and has been adding costs to ingredients. We saw gasoline go up to beyond $4 a gallon here in California just about a year ago, right? And you know, this is something that, along with that, you saw commodities prices skyrocketing. You know, fresh fruits and vegetables skyrocketing, fertilizers skyrocketing. And this is something that, you know, added layers of government, added layers of manufacturing and that sort of thing. Certainly the supplement industry, you know, if you look at how many people have died from, you know, interactions with pharmaceuticals and misdiagnosis and prescription drug use and just prescription drugs that turned out to be bad compared to supplements, people have nowhere near been harmed by supplements in their history, you know, as pharmaceutical drugs. But yet, you're now going to see this level of manufacturing, which, on a good side, it kind of limits competition. As a company, certainly you want limited competition. As an individual, I feel, sad about that because I think competition creates innovation, and that's what this country has been founded on, is my perspective. And so, I like to see new things coming onto the market and people having access to things that maybe, because of these, you know, stringent rules issues may limit.
I put a call in for pharmacist Ben, left a voicemail, so I don't know if he'll get it. But, Rich, I'm wondering if it's possible that maybe that's what Ben was talking about.
Well, I asked him specifically, Codex Elementarius. I heard twice on other programs that it's been passed. It'll be implemented in December. And he said, yes, it's going to be implemented at the end of December. And then he went on for 10 minutes after that, and I asked him how's this going to affect our vitamins and nutrients. He said the amounts are going to be limited, just like the ibuprofen over in Europe. and the prices are going up, and it'll all be administrated by the pharmaceutical companies, and we can't overturn it now. He said we have ourselves to blame. So talk to Ben, because he'll clarify his position on it if I misunderstood, but that's exactly what he said. I'm going to go out and buy everything I can find with money I've got, because I don't want them taking away simple things like turmeric, you know, spice rack for inflammation, much less vitamins and minerals. But if you can get a hold of them, great, because I would like it clarified. I tried to get the answer from Dr. Wallach on his program twice, and he said he would look into it because he wasn't aware of it either. And when I asked Ben yesterday, I thought I had another chance, and he told me directly it happened. It's already been passed. We can't do anything about it. All we can do is try to get it overturned down the road, I guess. So I'm frustrated.
Okay. All right.
So the co-elementarius that they have in York Board say semblance of it, but you can imagine the pharmaceutical is going to take over this. Oh, God. You can imagine what we're going to be dealing with.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate your time, gentlemen. So,
okay. Yeah, thank you, Rich. Yeah, so I don't know. It's a mystery. Well, maybe Ben will get the message, and if he does, I'm sure he'll call. So let's take a commercial break now, and we'll come back. You're listening to the Saturday Special with a special guest, Steve Wallach from the Longevity Company. And we will be back in just a few moments after this commercial break. So stay with us.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday Special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's 475-4499.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. We all have been given the Bill of Rights drafted by our forefathers. They gave us liberties and freedom basic to our American way of life. Well, I decided to create the Bill of Rights with the relation to your home. Your home has basic rights. It has the right to stand there proudly. Your home has the right to a leak-proof, fireproof roof. Your home has the right to be properly ventilated to avoid musty, trapped air and mold. Your home has the right to be insulated against the elements of heat or cold. Your home has the right to look nice, to stand tall and proud. Your home has the right to be protected by warranties and companies willing to be able to be there on a moment's notice. Your home has rights against insect and critter invasion. You know, if your home could talk, I'll bet its rights would be violated in some way or another. Here at Knox Roofing, we're here to defend your home's rights. Just give us a call at 461-0634. Okay, thanks, folks.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross. Here's Pamela with your health coverage tip of the day.
Remember the Boy Scout motto, be prepared? When it comes to your health insurance, being prepared is rule number one. You can't buy car insurance after you're in a car wreck. You can't buy fire insurance after your house burns. And you can't purchase a health plan after you become sick or injured. So rule number one is be prepared. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. I will help you find the best coverage at the most affordable rates, so give me a call and be prepared.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
President Obama has said that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, if you translate the president's intentions, one thing is certain. It's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS Gun Show in the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, accessories, and much, much more. Go early to the Giant TS Gun Show for the best deals. This Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission just $8 per person. Children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by their parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
What connects you to your doctor? Our guess, it's the relationship you've built together, the quality of care you receive, and that your doctor lives and works in this community. That's why, if you're Medicare eligible, you should consider enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan accepted by PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County. By enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan with Physicians Medical Group, you're assured affordable, preventive, and routine medical care. This plus access to over 300 local physicians and 42 specialties, both state-of-the-art hospitals, and convenient walk-in care. And best of all, it's all provided by a PMG primary care physician or specialist who, like you, is proud to call Santa Cruz County home. Visit us online or call 465-7800 to learn more. Your doctor, your plan. Medicare Advantage with PMG, Physicians Medical Group of Santa Cruz County.
It's 11:34 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCR, number two of the Saturday special. We've got about 25 minutes remaining with our special guest, Steve Wallach, GIC, guy in charge of Youngevity, a network marketing company that is growing and growing and growing. And hey, the network marketing industry, Steve, is gaining in popularity these days, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and the reason is because of the economy, stupid, right?
Well, of course. You know, when the economy dips down, you know, people still need to make income. They still need to find a way to make a living. And, you know, it used to be if you needed a little extra money when the economy was at pretty much full employment, you know, people would say, well, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll just go get a second job. Well, now, you know, people are underemployed a lot, right? And so, I mean, a second job is maybe a nice thought, but, you know, why not a home-based business where you get to leverage your time and help people that you know and love and, you know, work with the people you want to work with or in the schedule you want to work. And, you know, you can work your home-based business pretty much from every, like you said earlier in the show, Michael, you know, almost everybody has access to the Internet these days. I can tell you, you know, I just got back from Tahiti and, you know, while it was maybe expensive on the ship and stuff, but to log on to the Internet, certainly there was easy access from the ports and things. And so, you know, there's Internet access pretty much around the world, and you can manage your business pretty much from anywhere you can log in to the Internet. And so you can work the schedule you want to work from where you want to work it with the people you want to work and promote the products you want to promote. And so it's a fantastic way to earn either a part-time or many-time. You know, many people work full-time at this and earn a full-time income and even executive-level incomes, and it's a residual income. So, you know, you can take a week off. You can take a month off. You know, God forbid something happens to you and you're laid up. If you're a small business owner and you can't open the door for a month, you're probably out of business. In this business, you know, if something happens, you need to take time off or time away. There are other people involved, and your business just keeps on going. So, you know, it's a fantastic thing for, especially in the economy that we're in, and it's not going to get better anytime soon. So this is why you're seeing more and more of the people that are pretty intelligent about business, like Warren Buffett and, you know, possibly Donald Trump and certainly Robert Kiyosaki and people like that becoming much more involved and interested in the network marketing industry. It is just another business channel to deliver products and services
to the population, really worldwide.
Steve, isn't it true that over the years, network marketing has been much more popular in other countries than it has been here? Like Japan, for example. Someone told me years ago, I don't know if this is true, I never bothered to verify it, that fully 50% or thereabouts of the commerce in Japan, products and services, are sold via network marketing. Now, was someone exaggerating, or have you heard that too?
I don't know that figure is correct, Michael, but I can tell you per capita that certainly is probably true. Countries like Japan, this is a very customary form of delivering products and services and earning income. The U.S. is by far the largest market for network marketing, but we also have 350 million people here. Japan is a much smaller population base, and yet it's the second largest market for network marketing. And certainly the Asian countries this is a very popular form of earning a living, and certainly a very popular form of buying and selling products and services. So it's very customary.
And other, it can be, you don't have to be an individual to be engaged in network marketing. Increasingly, nonprofits are signing up, right? And,
sure.
And using that as, as fundraising for churches.
Absolutely.
And other nonprofits and so forth. Why not?
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing that we've been doing with radio stations and we'll be doing with more. I was telling you right before we went on the air that we've got a station coming on in the next couple of weeks in North Los Angeles County. And they're going to be carrying the Dead Doctors program. But more importantly, they are going to be adapting the content from the Dead Doctors program to their very large internet online, website and other new media activities. And, God, I mean, I'm just so excited about where we're headed right now. I mean, when people say, oh, the economy has dried up and it's changing the world, well, golly gee, I mean, that's a good thing that the world is being changed. I think it's being changed for the better, right?
Well, it's one of the things that you have to adapt to a changing environment for sure. But that's, I have a lot of optimism towards the U.S. economy. I have a lot of optimism towards U.S., the country. And every time this has happened, the U.S. has led the way out of, worldwide recessions and depressions through innovation. And as companies, we have to do the same thing. But certainly as a country, we have to do the same thing. And we have to adapt. We can't just sit there and wait for things to change. We as individuals have to kind of, evolve and adapt to the changing environment as well.
The changes have taken place.
Sure.
Now, there are – what do you predict? Let's get into politics a little bit now.
Okay.
What do you predict for the future of healthcare in this, the healthcare bill that's going through Congress now that's so controversial?
I think healthcare is going to – the face of healthcare is going to change. I think healthcare – the system is going to change. It remains to be seen, whether it's going to be better or worse. Certainly, there are a lot of people that are either underinsured or uninsured. In the U.S., it's one of those situations where if somebody walks in needing emergency services, hospitals will typically help them. And, us as taxpayers or the hospital winds up eating the costs and the bills.
Well, that's happening now, right?
That's happening now. Yeah. And so this just sort of shifts that same thing to maybe a more mechanized kind of system. The bad part, from my perspective, is, when government gets involved in these things, especially on a much larger degree, if you look at Medicare as an example, it really hasn't turned out that great. I know a lot of people in Canada, I love Canadians, in talking with them candidly, they aren't really impressed or thrilled with their current healthcare system, and that seems to be where we're kind of headed. So I don't know if there's any great answer from that perspective, but that ties exactly in with our health claim petition process. If you take somebody that winds up with a neural tube, spinal birth defect, and costs, millions of dollars really to care for them and treat them throughout their life, if you could avoid that with pennies of folic acid,
Doesn't that make sense? Of course it does. You know, not to mention the agony that the family and the individual has to go through. And so this is where, you know, I think there is a huge opportunity for our industry as a nutritional company to really kind of get involved in this and show people how you can reduce costs going forward by, you know, I mean, the best way to save money is to avoid spending it in the first place or needing to spend it in the first place. And so, you know, with the healthcare system changing, and people are, you know, interested in looking at all alternatives to save money now. And, you know, prevention is certainly, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, right? And so that's where I think we fit into this.
Yeah, indeed. I've always been excited about switching over from a reactionary system to a prevention system. And, you know, who could argue with that? But I don't know. I mean, now, because healthcare is going to be a lot more expensive, everyone seems to agree with that, with that assertion, that any way you cut it, no matter how it comes down, it's going to be more expensive. I don't know. Prevention is going to become that much more important. You know,
absolutely.
I think it
without
would
be, a doubt.
Have you ever heard of any systems of any governments in which they get behind preventive care, preventive treatment, and in fact would have their where insurance companies actually participate or cover nutritional supplementation?
I'm not aware of any countries where insurance companies cover nutritional products. But even here in the U.S., I know of some HMOs and insurance plans that are definitely promoting those sorts of things right now and certainly working with people to educate them on prevention because, you know, when they're looking at their bottom line, they need to find a way to keep their members healthier as well.
It just seems like a no-brainer to me. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
You would think.
Yeah. But whether or not it's covered by insurance plans or not, it's just... It's not all that expensive. I mean,
no.
You know, to have the highest quality of premium products that Youngevity distributes, I mean, it might cost $120, $130 a month, if that, per person.
Yeah, well, you're talking about, you know, pennies per capsule or, you know, a dollar per serving or something like that. But you're talking, you know, pharmaceutical drugs that are, you know, $50 a tablet in some instances. And it's just, you know... Nobody wants that, and nobody needs that. Hopefully, you know, if you introduce prevention into your regime. But, you know, obviously there are times and places for those things, but that's where I see the biggest cost-saving potential, Michael, is, you know, you and I were just talking about prevention, and, you know, I certainly hope that we have a place in that.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking with Steve Wallach, who is the CEO, otherwise known as the GIC, guy in charge of Youngevity Company, a network marketing company owned by Dr. Wallach and with which I and many of my associates have been connected for a good dozen plus years. If you want to give us a call, we're in the home stretch of the program. Our phone number is 479-1080 and area 831. You can email me at mz@ksco.com. That's my regular email, but I have my Gmail open right now. So, if you want to participate that way, you're free to do so. You can also send us one of those, dinosauric faxes. We have a fax line at 475-2967. But if you call that number, be sure to give us a call on the main line, 475-1080, and let us know that we should go check the fax machine. 479-1080, the number to call to talk to Steve and MZ. Craig in Soquel, you're up next on the Saturday special. You're on.
I wanted to, I had a family member go to a hospital to get a knee replaced. And I was, you know, I've learned a great deal about amino acids, vitamins, and minerals for over 16 years. And I wanted to kind of just find out. He was on like five different pharmaceuticals at the time he had gotten the knee replaced. And I asked the doctor why he might not be getting GABA, gamma aminobutyric acid, or glycine, or Tori. And he didn't know what they were. And, you know, your spinal cord is basically 25 to 30% of your neurotransmission in your spinal cord is in the form of glycine. And GABA, as an amino acid or a neurotransmitter, is distributed throughout your entire brain and the spinal cord, and it really doesn't help us not to understand what ingredients are prevalent in what parts of the brain and the body if we're going to be worked on by doctors. And it's not their fault. I mean, they basically are being, that's their education. Well,
good luck, Craig. I don't know that people are going to be, are going to become as learned as you have obviously become.
Well, right.
Certainly not a bad idea, but I don't think you can count on it. Do you have a particular question for Steve?
Well, I wanted to understand if he uses tryptophan and methionine in his longevity products.
Well, we have amino acids, obviously, in many of our products. We don't have those as individual ingredients. All our products are formulated. But I agree with you, Craig, that, you know, we do need to, take responsibility for our own health, at least to a degree. I mean, most of us understand how our car works or enough about our car to diagnose or at least tell, the mechanic what to look for and what seems to be the problem. And when it comes to our own, bodies, we go to the doctor and we say, well, what do you think, doc? And, okay, whatever you say, doctor. And, we need to really kind of understand what they're prescribing for us and what they're saying about us. Just in case they're wrong. And, when it comes to nutritional things, Craig, doctors typically don't get that much nutritional training in medical school. I, like myself, nutrition wasn't really a favored, elective, and it certainly wasn't a requirement. And that hasn't changed much. I can tell you that doctors are personally becoming much more interested in nutritional things because of people like yourself and people like my father and Memzi and myself. I mean, all of us, if we're interested in nutrition and we're asking these questions, doctors are sort of compelled to find out more and more people are asking about it. So I think it's certainly an important aspect.
I fully believe in surgeries. I mean, what doctors do with surgeries, I've had surgeries myself, and they've done unbelievable jobs. I just think that if they had that nutritional background, that a lot more innovation would be coming from doctors than it is currently with the pharmaceuticals being attached to most.
Well, I think it's I think it's absolutely true that medical doctors are more open to learning about and prescribing supplements than they have ever been. It's still not being taught, I don't think, to the degree it should in medical schools, but I think a lot of doctors are embracing the idea of prevention. Don't you think, Steve?
Yeah, I participated in what's called the A4M conference a few years ago, and that's where Suzanne Summers was actually the keynote speaker at that particular event. And I was pretty surprised, Michael, that most of the people there were actually medical doctors learning more and taking courses on nutrition, and they had an interest in that whole group.
Good.
There were about 6,000. I agree with you, but they definitely have an interest in kind of medical spas and things these days, much more so than just traditional medical practices. And where that comes from is, again, the average person asking for these things. So I think, we as a group are doing a good job of getting the word out that these things are actually beneficial and that they work because more and more people are asking their doctors about it.
Right. Hey, Craig in SoCal, thanks for your call on the Saturday special. Appreciate hearing from you. If you want to give us a call, 479-1080 in area 831. We got about 10 minutes left of the program. Our next caller will be Rory in Watsonville. Rory, you're on with Steve and MZ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Benefited over the years and hearing Doc Wallach on your program. I've used the product and continue to without any major issues. One surgery to reattach the tendon that I tore or ruptured, and it healed quickly. But my question is, when I talk to people, I spoke with somebody today, mid-40s, maybe young, low 40s, painkillers, sleep aid, with knees going, and when you talk to them about nutrition, their eyes kind of gloss over. And I know you just mentioned this this event convention or this seminar where there are a lot of MDs, which is promising. But what, Steve, what's going to provide the breakthrough after your dad's been out there for years and others have been beating the trail and having seminar? What is it going to take to have the complete shift away from polypharmacy and just the dependence on the drugs, which is, they have their place, but at the rate and the way we use them, they tend to poison us over time, and then the nutrition gets lost. Is there any one thing that you can see on the horizon that might provide a breakthrough?
Absolutely, and it's actually what Michael and I were just talking about with the healthcare reform. It's possible, because when things change, all of a sudden, when there's those sort of monumental shifts, things change. And so hopefully, you know, people will view nutrition and prevention and supplementation even to a greater degree and realize the benefits. Beyond that, I mean, certainly if you look at the if you look at the supplement use, if you look at people and age groups and things like that, as I do, certainly many, many more people are using supplements and learning about them and understanding the benefits at all ages, of all age categories. And so you're seeing that anyway. And I think that's probably because of just the Internet, the education that people are receiving, the understanding that people are receiving of the dangers of pharmaceutical, you know, drugs and things. So I think, and not to mention the expense, but I think you're seeing that, and it's not something that, other than like the health, you know, health care reform, without that, it's probably a slow progression of just growth of understanding and as opposed to an immediate shift. But when you have monumental shifts like the healthcare reform, that creates, you know, the opportunity for dramatic change. And I think, like I said, you know, hopefully people will understand much more so the benefits of prevention. You know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, you weren't hearing politicians talking about prevention. You were hearing politicians talking about pharmaceutical drugs and benefits of the pharmaceutical industries and protecting the pharmaceutical companies. Today, you're hearing many more politicians talking about prevention and cost savings, and
right,
looking for those cost savings.
We just got to keep the government out of it, other than providing the regulatory framework for these things to take place. We sure don't need a government-run
I agree with you, Rory. Yeah.
But I'm encouraged, I guess, over time, and thanks to your father and yourself and the Zwirlings for providing a forum for this. I wouldn't have known about it to the degree that I do. So I'm grateful, and thanks to you and your father and Michael.
Thanks for the kind words, Rory. Appreciate your call. Here's Richard N. Watsonville, probably our last caller to the Saturday special. Then Steve and I will wrap it up. Richard, you're on.
Thank you, Mike. My question is why is, or why are you guys against, you know, I heard Andy a while ago, Andy Anderson, and I'm wondering why you guys are against government controlling things like ibuprofen or Tylenol or even aspirin. I mean, those are heavy, much heavier drugs than what Doc Wallach has, right?
Well, yeah, we don't have drugs at all. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, aspirin is a very heavy drug, so why wouldn't you want that controlled?
I think, you know...
Why are people allowed to go into these pharmacies and buy boxes after boxes of this stuff? You ever read the warning labels on Tylenol?
So who
well,
needs
personally,
the government
I would rather you,
yeah.
Personally, I'd rather you obviously use supplements and things first. Our CM cream is a great pain reliever.
Right.
Certainly where, you know, Andy and Phyllis were overseas, if they didn't have access to that.
Yeah, but
aspirin,
you guys don't
Tylenol.
Have all them warning labels all over your product.
Sure.
You don't have all them warning labels like they do that they're selling in the pharmacies, and yet you're not for that. You're still for the competition part of it, and I don't know. I think we need...
Well, I don't think it's... Personally, my view on business and view on politics is a smaller government is typically better. You know, you can't point to anything
Amen.
That government, big government has
yeah,
done.
Yeah, but look what
well.
All it's the little government that told Andy he couldn't buy any more than 12 tablets.
And that's a big government. That's
yeah,
a big government.
That's
Richard.
Big government.
Sorry, you got that wrong.
Small country,
but
big government.
It's a small country, but a big government in a small country.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Richard, thanks for the call to the Saturday special. Steve, we're really in the home stretch now. There's only about 4.5 minutes. Tell us about Beyond Tangy Tangerine real quick. I mean, just this is something you guys have been working on for years, right? I mean,
absolutely. Tangy Tangerine is a fantastic nutrient. You know, it sort of reminds me of where we were with liquid supplements about 15 to 20 years ago. This is something that's been in the works for about 5 years, really waiting for manufacturing technology to catch up with the desire of, you know, and the goal of the product. And so what we've got is a highly absorbable powder that starts as a powder, is turned into a liquid, and then cool under cool temperatures resolidified into to powdered crystals, and so they're, we call them NutriCrystals, and we call that product Beyond Tangy Tangerine. It's based on the our liquid Tangy Tangerine supplement, but it has an added 115 fruits and vegetables to it, and it's in a powdered form, so it stays very stable, very fresh until it's used. There's no need for preservatives or artificial flavors or sweeteners of any kind. So it's you know, low sugar, low glycemic, no added sugar. It's just a fantastic product, and it's something that tastes so phenomenal that I can tell you my three-year-old, who's my official taste tester, absolutely loves it. So, you know, if he loves it, you know, everybody else is going to love it.
Wow. And with the exception of EFAs, which can be taken and are taken separately, it contains everything. It contained all 90 essential everything. Am I right?
It does. It contains the 87 or 88 essential nutrients plus many others, like the 115 fruits and vegetables that make up the fruit and veggie and roots and herb mix. But that in combination with the EPA and DHA of like EFA plus, let's say, those two products make up the 90 essential nutrients that Dr. Wallach talks about all the time. Certainly, you know, we kind of refer to those as the center of the flower. Let's say, you know, if you're looking at a sunflower, that those two products would make up the center. The 90 essential nutrients make up the center.
Yeah.
And then the petals make up all the optional products. Or if you have special needs, if you're looking for a sports supplement or, you know, a higher calcium and magnesium supplement or something like that, those would be the petals of the flower. So these two products make up the center. They're the most important of our whole health program.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in the 2 minutes, in the less than 2 minutes that we have, say something about the most recent acquisition.
Okay. We just brought on a company that is called Ethos Environmental, Inc. And what it is it's an environmentally friendly product that reduces emissions and extends gas mileage. So it starts saving you money on gas and maintenance right away. So it's something that's fantastic for the environment and fantastic for your pocketbook and fantastic for your car. And it's a natural product, and it's just an amazing product. I've been using it for months now, and it just works great. And, you know, we've been looking to get into the green arena for a while. And again, this is a company that wound up being 10 miles away from our home offices here in Chula Vista. So it was a fantastic marriage, if you will, and a fantastic product. And, you know, my interest in cars and things, it's a natural fit from that perspective. I'm really amazed at the product and really impressed with it. And I think you got to see the manufacturing facility when you were down here last, Michael. Very impressive.
Awesome.
And it's, you know.
It's a public company, which means that Longevity is now a public company, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Pretty cool. Pretty neat.
Absolutely.
Gosh. Hey, well, there's only 30 seconds left until the top of the hour. We can go on forever and ever. Steve, great to have you on with us. Thanks for being with us. We've got to have you on again. And continued success to all of us at Longevity, and to you in particular.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for being
Appreciate
on.
Being
okay?
on.
Take care.
Thank you.
This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com.
That's all, folks.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Police are expected to talk with Tiger Woods later today about his SUV accident early yesterday morning, hitting a fire hydrant at a tree just outside his Orlando, Florida area mansion's driveway that supposedly left him with facial lacerations. But the celebrity website TMZ says those cuts may have come from a domestic dispute with his wife over an alleged affair with a New York City hostess, Rachel Uchitel. Fox News has talked to her, though, and she denies all.
I never crossed paths with Tiger in Melbourne, not in a restaurant, not in a gym, not in the lobby, nothing. I have nothing to say to the Woods family because I don't even know them.
Uchitel's statement relayed by Fox's Phil Keating. TMZ has been citing law enforcement sources for the domestic dispute angle, but authorities now say publicly they aren't going to speculate on what happened before the accident. We're trying not to get on the rumor mill, a Florida Highway Patrol spokesperson says, but they do expect to release the 911 tapes from the accident tomorrow. A terrorism investigation launched in Russia.
Sources in the Russian president's and prime minister's offices confirmed to Fox News this was an act of terrorism. The Nevsky Express, a high-speed train traveling to St. Petersburg from Moscow, had more than 600 people on board when a blast derailed four cars. About 30 people were killed, 100 injured. The train was traveling at 124 miles per hour when the attack occurred. The head of the Russian Federal Security Service says 7 kilos of explosives were detonated under the tracks. The Russian prosecutor says explosive residue and a bomb crater were found. Now they need to figure out who carried out the attack and why. In Moscow, Dana Lewis, Fox News Radio.
A little later this afternoon, we'll be getting the Black Friday shopping data from more than 50,000 stores, which will indicate whether a relative easing of the recession is inspiring consumers. In the meantime, an outfit that tracks online shopping says that aspect of sales was up 35% yesterday over last year. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Imus in the Morning on Fox Business Network, weekdays at 6 a.m. East.
What is it about Sarah Palin? I mean, I don't understand why you and Hannity and Charles get all...
requires this much attention?
Yeah, and get all damp over her. She seems fine, but...
She's one of us. She's
dope.
Real. She's not a dope. And the fact that she annoys you Upper West Side liberals like that...
what are you talking about? Sarah Palin is fine, but to take this woman seriously is idiotic.
They said that Ronald Reagan.
Oh, my God. You're suggesting to me that she has the intellectual heft of even Ronald Reagan or even George Bush.
She doesn't have to.
No.
She's got other intangibles.
That's like what? Fact.
Well, look at the cover of Newsweek.
Oh, my God. Well, then, let's get that woman who's on all the vampire movies. What's her name? The one who's on the cover of Rolling Stone.
Huh? If you don't get it, it's impossible to explain to you why you don't get it.
To find the I-Man on Fox Business, go to foxbusiness.com/channelfinder.
A big Jupiter, Florida family gathering turning deadly after Thursday's Thanksgiving dinner. Michael Marish reportedly going on a shooting spree, killing his twin sisters and aunt and a six-year-old cousin.
He comes back in with a handgun and starts randomly shooting people. Investigators do not believe at this time that anyone was a possible intended target. He just started rapidly firing his gun. There were 17 family members in the house at the time.
America's Most Wanted correspondent, Michelle Sigona. The 35-year-old Marige, now on the run, reported to have had mental problems, possibly headed for Michigan. Pakistan's President Asif Ali Zardari has been under fire over corruption charges, including taking kickbacks, for such a long time that he's been given the nickname Mr. 10%. Well, he's been protected from graft charges by an amnesty, but that amnesty expires today, and Zardari, the widower of the assassinated former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto, is under pressure to resign. Acknowledging that pressure and signaling